Today's scripture comes from the third chapter of Matthew. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And then when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice came from the heaven, said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, today puts me on a different kind of tack. This is one of the scriptures that I struggle with. As I go through the Bible, sometimes I just soak it in and smile and just feel filled. And other times I go, "What? Let it be so now, for it's proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." What in the world is he talking about? First time I read that, I went, "You are going to explain that later, aren't you?" The answer is no, he's not. So then I began to sort through some of the things that I have always struggled with in Scripture. Another one that always bothers me is there's one in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Paul writes, "Now I rejoice that I am suffering for you, filling up in my flesh what is lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions." Again, I go, "What? So Jesus didn't quite get it done? Like maybe if he could hang on the cross the whole afternoon, it would have been finished? Or if he had said the right words while he was up there, maybe it would have been finished? What does that mean?" And then there's one that I thought I understood, but only to be taught that maybe I don't really understand, and it's the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee stands up and says, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." You see, what was interesting is what the Pharisee is listing as what he does is supposed to be the target for all good Jewish people. They're all supposed to strive to do those things. So why is it that the guy who's doing what he's supposed to is the bad guy, and the guy who's extorting money as a tax collector is the good guy? I'm going, well, I don't know. So then I look to the parable of the lost son, or the prodigal son, as we call it. And what we have is two sons, one of whom wants his dad to just die and give him his inheritance, and the other one who, when the son comes back and says, "I'm sorry," doesn't want to forgive him. So what is it that is moving through these different scriptures? The relationship. In the parable of the prodigal son, both sons are broken relationships with dad. One sees him as a checkbook. One sees him as too forgiving. In the Pharisee and the tax collector, we have a Pharisee that is doing all the right things and a sinner who's doing all the wrong things, but the sinner needs God and the Pharisee doesn't. So now I go back to the scripture and I look at this idea of baptism. Baptism is something that looks very simple but actually is quite complex. I don't know how many of you have church shopped or gone from church to church before, but you can get quite an earful on what baptism is and how other people get it wrong. If you are Catholic, Orthodox, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, you understand baptism is a presentation where the Holy Spirit claims the child or claims the person being brought forth, cleansing them of original sin and renewing their bond with God the Father. If you're an Assembly of God or a Baptist, you believe it's where the person comes forward and claims the Holy Spirit and restores that relationship. I'm not going to get into who's right or who's wrong or why. But why is Jesus coming? Does Jesus have original sin? No. He was, I've read somewhere it says, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Sound familiar? So, okay, he doesn't have sin. So why is he coming? And it takes me back to these other scriptures that I struggle with. It's a relationship problem. See, Jesus is not only here to provide atonement and to restore us to Jesus, he is here to be an archetype. He's supposed to be a model. And if everybody is getting baptized and Jesus doesn't come to be baptized, what if people follow his example and don't come forward? I think that starts to get at the essence of it. I'm not saying that I'm the be-all, end-all, and I have all the answers, but I think there is something in that that we need to be aware of, that modeling that Jesus is doing. You need to confess that you need God. You need him in your life. You need his forgiveness. I have heard two different people now say, I really like the idea of repentance in case I ever do anything that I need to repent of. Wow. Sometimes I've made it to breakfast without having to repent, but usually not much past that. This idea that you need to reach out and admit that you need Jesus. I think this idea that Jesus comes forward to be baptized is symbolic in another way, because I usually find people who need Jesus the most don't know it. They think they're doing fine. I've told this illustration before, but I think it bears repeating. I used to teach outdoor education, and I taught an orienteering class. And I would put a map on the wall, and I'd give them all a copy of the map, and I'd show them contours and how elevation moves and how the water is blue and how north is up and everything like this. And this girl just keeps shaking her hand, and she says, wait, 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 wait. So after I finally finished, I said, now is the time for questions. She says, I need another map. This one doesn't have the dot that says you are here. Never dawned on her that if you carry a map with you, you can't have a dot that says you are here, because the dot moves as you move. Well, if you are moving through life and you don't know where you are and where you're supposed to be, you don't know you're lost. I ran a road race. It's called the Great Lakes Relay. It runs from Lake Huron to Lake Michigan. We run across the state. And we take turns. And there's indicators on the way that where you're supposed to go, but they're not really obvious sometimes. And on one particular leg, I became famous. Because I am running along and I feel great. It's the second day. I'm, I don't know, 20, 25 miles into my day. And I said, oh, I really feel good. And I'm running along and there's footprints everywhere. And I just keep going and going and going and going. And I realize that I'm gone further than the checkpoint is supposed to be. And I just keep running because the footprints are there. Well, the footprints were not the direction. The little bitty flag that was off in the weeds was the direction. Just because everybody is going that way, don't make it the right way. Sometimes the way God calls you on is very faint and hard to see. But if you're staying in contact with God, if you're staying in relationship with God, it becomes obvious when you're no longer with Him and when you're just following the footprints. Jesus didn't need to be sanctified from original sin, but He needed to model for us that we need to be reaching out to God. We need to be in relationship with God so that we know where we are and where we're going, whose we are and who we are. Could you pray with me? Lord, sometimes as we come to the scripture, we read things that at first blush don't make sense. But Lord, help us to look deeper and look at ourselves and see where it is that we would find ourselves in the story and how it is that if we walk with You, we maintain our relationship with You, we remain in contact with You, we avoid getting lost. We know where we are, where we're going, whose we are, and who we are. Almost as if we're hearing a voice from heaven. In Your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.